Hello, and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Today on the show is Dana Pollack, the CEO and founder of Dana's Bakery. Her online bakery is known for taking the traditional French macaron and putting that unique American twist on them with flavors like birthday cake, s'mores, fruity cereal, red velvet, cookie dough, and a lot more. But Dana wasn't always sending these delicious love bombs to people in the mail. Actually, at 30, she decided to make some life changes. She left her career as a photo editor at Muscle and Fitness magazine, entered culinary school, and proceeded to build this company, Dana's Bakery, from the ground up. Using her photography skills, she was able to build a following on social media with her food porn and get her beautiful, colorful, unique products out there to the world. Today, she's expanded beyond macarons, and Dana's Bakery has been named one of America's fastest-growing private companies. She's also a mother and takes a lot of pride in being a woman in business. It was lovely to meet her, and I hope you enjoy.
From the Fox 11 studios in Los Angeles, California, it's the Olympic and Bundy podcast with host Kelly Taylor.
I saw that you watched Overboard on the plane.
I just recently, in the past couple months, watched the original.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And I think it's really good too because they're still together.
And it's Goldie.
You know, yeah. And it's like,
it's classic Goldie.
You know that
it worked.
That where how they met?
I think that they met on a film before that. I'm not sure though. Don't quote me, but I love her. And that movie is, so I'm a huge 80s movie geek, and I still buy DVDs to keep in my collection because a lot of the movies that I love aren't on Netflix. Like License to Drive, Better Off Dead, True Beverly Hills, you know, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. So movies I constantly just watch over and over again. And one of them, like my fave, is Overboard. And I was so pissed when they remade this because it was like Hairspray. Like John Waters is not even dead and you're already, you know, I love him. So I'm not saying I want him to die, but why did you remake, you know?
Yeah.
Why did you, Hairspray? Like it's still so new-ish.
The remake of Overboard, it's Reversal, right? The gender is, Anna Faris is the one who is Kurt Russell's character.
Exactly.
So what'd you think of it?
I hated it. And I wanted to like it, but I knew I would hate it, but it was free on the plane. So I was like, I've got 6 hours to kill. Let's just see what's going on over here. And I was not into it.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, she's funny.
But I just don't think they should have remade that one.
You know, there's some hits and misses in the world.
Exactly.
So what all have you done since you've been in LA?
So a lot of my best friends live here, so I've been catching up with them, and I'm looking for some potential location opportunities to kind of expand out here. We have a lot of customers and clients that live out west, specifically in LA, and there's been a lot of demand for people were saying, open up in California. When are you going to open here? It'd be great to have a store here. So I'm kind of, you know, searching out locations right now.
And because you guys have a Mac bar in Dylan's Candy Shop.
Yeah.
There's one at the Grove, isn't there?
So we are sold in the Dylan's Candy Bar locations across the country. So they have a location, a couple in New York. They've got, I think they just opened up one in Honolulu. They're all over. But we are the one in Miami, the one here, the ones in New York.
Gotcha.
The flagship location on the Upper East Side is where we recently opened up a Mac Bar location. I moved locations. We were downtown, and I moved it uptown, and I opened inside Dylan's Candy Bar because it just seemed like the best next step. It's great synergy between both brands. I've worked with them for years. I love them, and it just made sense, and they were into that idea, and it's been going really well.
That's exciting. So is there specific neighborhoods of LA that you think, I think we should look here?
If I were to live anywhere in LA, it would be West Hollywood, but I feel like Brentwood, the bakery would do really well there, possibly West Hollywood. Those would be the two, like Country Mart and Brentwood, something like that.
Right.
Like, those would be the two places that I'm feeling the most for Dana's Bakery, even if I would do a pop-up and just test it out. That's how the Mac Bar started. It was a pop-up.
Oh, really?
We were online first. So when I opened up the bakery, we were online only. And at the time when I opened, no one understood what online meant. There weren't online bakeries where right now everything is shipping. But 7 years ago, when I started, everyone was like, I don't understand. Where's your store? And I was like, your front door. Like, you just order online, we'll ship it to you. It's so easy. And no one understood that concept at the time. So even though we were sold in a bunch of locations in New York, I thought that it might be a good idea to test the waters, open up a pop-up situation in a food market and see how it did. And then I would know if it made sense to open up something. And it killed it. So that's when I knew that it would work. And that's, you know, why I opened up the first one in New York. So that's kind of how it started. So we'll test the waters out here. We'll do the same thing out here, whether it's a pop-up, maybe it turns permanent. We'll see.
Yeah, and you can think of some like creative SoCal flavors.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's so exciting.
Or team up with, you know, like Alfred Coffee or something like that. Something that's very See's Candy. Yeah, although they're in New York also. I'm trying to think what's really California.
Yeah, what is In-N-Out?
In-N-Out Burger. Yeah, In-N-Out. So we could do like a Burger Mac.
Yeah, and you could put like the little palm tree logo on on it or something.
I love In-N-Out.
That's so fun. I feel like the possibilities are endless.
Endless, yeah.
Right?
Endless.
So are you're originally from the East Coast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always lived there?
Yeah, I've always lived there. So I grew up in Jersey. I've lived in New York City for over 12 years now. 12, 13 years, but I've always loved California. I used to spend a lot of time here when I was a photo editor before I owned the bakery. And I was at Muscle and Fitness Magazine and a bunch of other places. So I was kind of bi-coastal. I would be here a lot for months at a time, and I would go back and forth.
Gotcha.
And when I graduated culinary school, I planned on moving out here. But then I met my now husband and started the bakery, so that kind of kept me on the East Coast.
Let's go back before you opened the bakery. When you so you went to college, I was reading. You went to college for photography?
Yep. At where did I go? Parsons School of Design.
Oh. Were you, as a kid, were you baking a lot? Or was that just, is that something that you were sort of doing on the side and something you always thought about but not seriously as a business?
Yeah, I always loved to bake. I always loved to cook and entertain and all of that stuff. And I would always bake for people. If I liked a guy, I would bake him something. If I was stressed out, it would be my release. I would always have people over for brunch parties and stuff like that. And I was sitting at my cubicle at Muscle and Fitness Magazine. I had just asked for a raise and they said no. And I was, you know, running the whole department at the time. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? I was about to turn 30. And I was like, am I really going to be doing this? I'm sitting there looking at a screen with men in Speedos. And I was like, that's it. Like, I'm done. Like, what am I? I have to jump ship. What am I going to do?
Right.
And then I thought about, well, what do I love to do? And I love to bake, but I really never thought about doing it for a living. So I thought, if I'm going to quit my job at 30 and I've been working in this career for over 10 years, you know, why don't I get formal training?
Right.
So I've always been really trigger happy. And in this instance, it helped me. And I quit my job and I found a culinary school and I enrolled all within 1 week.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you mean trigger happy, you mean just kind of you think of something and you're quick to do it.
Yeah. Doesn't, you know, like my husband, he'll look at a pair of shoes and he'll kind of ponder it for a couple of weeks and I'll buy like 10 shoes in 5 minutes and I'll just take the tags off before I really decided that I wanted to keep them. That's not a good example, but I'm just really, it's quick. It's easy for me to pull the trigger and make decisions. And I think that that's also really helped me in business, because when you're wearing many hats and you have to make lots of decisions, you don't have the liberty of wasting time, you know, thinking about the pluses and the minuses of both. You just kind of have to trust your gut and make a decision. And hopefully, you know, over time you learn which ones are the right ones. And if it's not a right decision, figure it out quickly so that you can kind of fix it and pivot before it hurts you too much.
Got it.
That's always something I tell people, like good advice for business.
Aim, ready, fire.
Yeah.
Right?
But have your eyes open and realize if it's not working so you can pivot and fix it before it sinks your ship.
Got it. So when you enrolled in culinary school, you focused on pastry and bakery,
That's it.
Just those things,
pastry,
not like savory stuff.
No, as much as I love to eat, the baking and pastry arts program. I went to ICE, Institute of Culinary Education, who's, I think, opening up a location here, believe it or not. Oh. Yeah.
How long did that program take?
So school was 9 months, and then we had a 3-month externship. So when I was in school, I did, you know, I'm all or nothing. So it was like a intensive nights and weekends. I was in school. And then when I wasn't working, I found somebody to kind of take me under his wing. And I was training and working as a pastry cook at a restaurant. So I was getting the experience because I didn't want to waste time once I graduated having to learn, you know, the real life experience that you don't get in school, like
right.
speed and pressure and really understanding how the basics of a kitchen work. In doing that, I realized that working in restaurants was not for me.
Oh.
At all. I said, okay, I still love food and I want to learn everything, but I don't want like my next career to be as a, you know, a restaurant chef. And just because someone might like food or they go to culinary school, they might love working in kitchens. A lot of people that that were in my class that I'm still close with, they're now the sous chef at Gramercy Tavern and a bunch of great restaurants because it was for them. They liked it. But for me, the hours were crazy and the flow just was so stressful. And everything that you read or hear about a kitchen, like in Cooking Confidential, Anthony Bourdain, it's all true. Like it's nuts in the kitchen.
Gotcha. Like so, high stress, a lot of focus on perfection.
Everyone's crazy. No, it's just everyone's crazy. So many crazy personalities and high stress and so fast paced and not for me.
Yeah. That's a good point about the hours too.
Hours are crazy, especially in dessert, because by the time everyone's done eating like the last tables of the night, you know, all the other cooks are getting ready to go home and it's at 11, but people are just ordering dessert. So you're firing up courses at like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning because it's the last to go.
Yeah.
So you don't get out of there, you know, depending on New York, when it closes 2 in the morning, sometimes 2:30. And then you have to be back in the kitchen, you know, to do prep and stuff like that early in the morning. Or for me, it was class.
Right.
Which started at like 8 a.m.
True.
So.
Burning the candle at both ends.
That's always.
So in school, I'm assuming you learned a lot of different kinds of pastries. Mm-hmm. What was it specifically with macarons that you, like when you first attempted it, was it bad?
So we didn't have a huge extensive lesson in macaroons when I was in culinary school. The reason why I chose ice is because I wanted to learn all different types of pastry, not just French. So there's a couple schools in the city, one of them French Culinary Institute. It wasn't for me. I wanted to be, you know, have a broader base. I didn't want to be so focused on French cuisine. And out of all the different mods, you know, I saw the curriculum, that's what they were offering. So I decided to go with ice, and we learned everything from breads to nice skills to herbs to cheese to, you know, pâte à choux. And there's all these different things that we learned that I never made before. I would always bake, but I would do basic recipes, but find a way to kind of make it my own. So I've always thought outside the box, which is what today sets Dana's Bakery apart from everyone else, is that we put our fun spin on things, whether it's the macaroon or the black and white cookie, which we recently launched, and we'll talk about that. But so I always baked, but I never really baked. Like I never had formal training. I never tried these different things. I didn't even know what some of these, you know, different desserts were. So it was great. You know, it was the best thing that I've really ever done. I enjoyed it so much and I learned so much. And for someone who loves food and loves to eat. I'm not kidding you. I gained maybe 20 pounds when I was in culinary school and I had 10 cavities and I have never had a cavity in my life. My dad's in dental. I never had a cavity in my life. And in being in culinary school, because you would start your day, they give you a giant baguette with butter. And then you're just eating this stuff all day long because you need to taste it.
Right.
So over a course of a year, you know, it's really easy to pack on the pounds when you're literally just sitting there eating fondant.
Just trying stuff.
And chocolate and, you know, marzipan. Because why not? It's in front of you.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And you got to make sure it's good so you can get an A.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. It was all research.
A coworker that is downstairs. I was talking to her before you came in about, she bakes a lot.
Right.
And she was talking about how her and her mom and her sister got together and she likes to try different stuff. Like you were saying, things that she hadn't, I don't know, just kind of go outside the box and try these obscure things. And she, for her, that was a macaron.
Right.
And she said that it took them all day and they came up with about 45 of them. And she showed me and she was like, well, she said that some of them were bad and then they eventually got a few good ones.
Right.
But she was saying how just down to Like they even, she doesn't always measure everything very precisely, but with that, you have to.
With all baking, you have to. And that's why it's a science. It's so different than culinary savory, where it's like a pinch of this and, you know, a drop of that.
Yeah.
We use a scale. Like it's a pastry magician. You have to be so exact with baking because it's a science.
Gotcha. Yeah. So did you, is that what kind of, is? Do you like a challenge? Like, because it seems like that's a more difficult thing to pick, to specialize in, right?
Right. So I love a good challenge, but I fell in love with the French macaroon when I was in school because the photo editor in me loved that aesthetically. It was so pleasing. It's this beautiful little, I hate to call it cookie, but it's this beautiful little confection. And, you know, a top, a bottom, there's a filling. It's just so pretty and it's cute. And when you bite into it, the macaroon has a texture that no other dessert has. It has a harder outside and it's soft and chewy in the middle. And there's an osmosis that happens with making macaroon. So we teach classes at the bakery. And I always tell people, don't eat a macaroon the day that you make it because you just have two shells and a filling. But if you give it a day, the filling starts to soften up the shell, and that's what gives the macaroon its distinct texture that people love. And people either don't know what a macaroon is or they're obsessed with them. And I think that because of our fun flavors, people that were not into macaroons before, like lavender, rose, pistachio, which I wasn't into either, which is how the concept of Dana's Bakery came about.
Right.
They are into trying it, and then they realize that these flavors and this texture, like this macaroon, is such an amazing little but satisfying dessert. So that's, you know, that's how I fell in love with them.
Yeah. They're very light and chic and luxurious. I feel like just from when I've been exposed to them.
And badass.
Yes. They're, well, the, okay, so you're saying
we
how.
We sent you some, right?
Yes,
you
tried and those. I loved the cookie dough one, loved the red velvet one.
Yeah.
Most of all, loved the black and white cookie because it was amazing. But
thank you.
Anyways, so you're saying the concept of Dana's Bakery came about because I didn't even know this, but there's like there are these traditional French
flavors. That's all there is.
So when you were in school doing this, you were probably looking around and you were like, yeah, what the heck? Why aren't there other kind of fun Americanized flavors?
Exactly. So macaroons were becoming more popular in the States. But no matter what cafe I went to, they were selling the same flavors. And I was like, how can you stand out if you're a block away and you're both selling lavender, rose, pistachio, dulce de leche? It's like, what gives? And how come no one's making them in these fun American flavors like s'mores, birthday cake, red velvet? I love to eat things. I love eating all the time, and I love desserts, and I love Halloween candy, and I love, you know, desserts at Christmas. And there were so many opportunities, and I said, well, if no one's going to do it, I should. And so that's how the concept of the bakery was born, thinking about what's missing, and it's something as simple as a dessert. But people, I guess I hit the wave at the right time. People didn't really know what a macaroon was at the time. They thought it was the coconut Passover.
Right.
And macaroon, which I don't really like,
and
if we're being completely honest.
Do you call that a macaroon?
So I don't speak French, so I'm not going to say macaron. I can say it very well, but I don't speak French. So I say macaroon. I'm from New Jersey after all, and you know, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
But as long as you spell it with one O. So macaroon, the coconut for Passover, that's two O's.
Got it.
The one O is the macaron, and that's, you know, the almond flour and the egg whites. Very similar, but very different.
Very different. Yes. Okay. I'm glad to clear that up.
Yeah, so you can say it however you,
say
you want.
Just
spell
way.
It with one O.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you graduate culinary school, and on graduation day, in your mind, are you already like, okay, I'm going to start a business?
Oh, I started it before I graduated.
Oh.
Yeah, I set up the entity with the help of my mom because I had no idea what I was doing, and neither did she, but we figured it out. And so I set up the entity, and I started recipe testing. So I had rented a small test kitchen in New Jersey, because that's where my mom lives, and she helped me find it. She helped me set up all that stuff. And in New York, you can't bake out of your apartment. There's laws that prevent that. You have to bake, if you're going to sell, in a FDA-approved kitchen.
Gotcha.
So I found, or she found, this test kitchen, and I rented a couple of hours a week, and I would go there and, you know, recipe test and figure out my recipes. By the time I had graduated, I had figured out the name. The website was almost complete, and, you know, we were ready to rock.
And you're 30?
Now, well, at that time, yeah, I'm 30.
What made you decide to call it Dana's Bakery and your namesake, did you ever consider naming it, you know, something without your name in it?
I think I toyed around with that a little bit. I think I bought like 10 URLs. Some of them were so bad, I think that I've chosen to block them out. but in the end, I put Dana's Bakery in there. It wasn't Dana's Macaroons because I didn't want to, you know, limit myself. And at the time, it sounded so strange, but I didn't even know if this was going to take off. I was like, let's just do it, whatever. You know, if it doesn't work off, I can always do another photo editing gig.
Right.
And just kind of see what happens. Now, I don't even really realize or think that my name's in it. It's kind of its own entity and it's its own person.
Gotcha.
And so I know my name's everywhere, but it doesn't resonate with me. It's its own person at this point.
Yeah. I listened to an interview that the owner of Lara Bar did, and her name is...
How I Built This?
Yeah.
I listened to that also.
I talk about it all the time.
So good.
I just love that.
Chicken salad chick? I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yes. The Chipotle
I know. Ben and Jerry's. Don't get me started.
The Starbucks one.
I haven't listened to that one yet. Oh, what? With Howard Schultz?
Yeah.
Okay. It's literally...
I think that one's live. It's good.
Okay.
But actually, the one with Jenny's Ice Cream.
Right.
I listened to that one. That one is pretty interesting because I just like hearing about how ideas formulate
amazing
to the point
stories.
Where you would open a business. Because for you, you were doing something pretty different.
Totally different.
And it's not like you went to school for business.
Never.
So it's interesting to when someone has just sort of pivots totally in their career. And then for you, it's sort of like a leap of faith, right?
Yes.
Like, all right, let's just do this.
100% leap of faith. And that's where the trigger happy comes into play. I was like, if I'm not going to do it now, when am I going to do it?
Right.
You know, it was just like a do or die kind of thing. And
how did you save up a lot of money?
So I had saved money, when I was a photo editor. And so that little nest egg that I had, part went to culinary school. The other, you know, part went to, because I'm not making any money in culinary school, especially working for, you know, $10 an hour, slaving away in the kitchen. So I had made a nest egg and I had put everything on the line to do this.
Yeah.
And let's hope it works.
It works out. So what were your first flavors?
So what's crazy is the few that we have now, like we have 12 flavors that we have all the time, one flavor of the month. And those have been my flavors since the very beginning.
Okay.
So red velvet, fruity cereal, orange creamsicle, key lime, s'mores, cookie dough, birthday cake.
PB&J.
Thank you. Peanut butter and jelly. A couple have changed. We have a chocolate molten. Before it was just chocolate, but we did a chocolate molten for a Valentine's Day box, and it did so well. So we kind of made it a permanent on the menu. And then we have our flavor of the month. So it changes. Like right now, it's back to school September. So we have the snack pack. It's crispy rice cereal, caramel popcorn, and chocolate covered pretzel. And everything's gluten-free, by the way. So every time we make a recipe, even though it might not seem gluten-free, like our s'mores macaroon, which is another flavor I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah.
I love all my children. I love them all equally. Let me just put that out there. My children before my actual child, because I have a daughter. But everything's gluten-free. So I have to find a way to make these flavors, transform everything into a macaroon, and then, you know, still make sure that it's kosher and gluten-free.
How long were you doing, like, testing recipes in this rented kitchen space? How long was that going until you officially were open for business? Ready? Let's hear people buy my treats.
Right. I think that I was recipe testing for a couple of months because I wasn't doing it full time. I was there a couple of hours a week. And the hardest one for me to do was the thin mint. That's the other flavor that we now took out of the variety box, but we have.
Uh-huh.
I like York peppermint patties, but the idea of mint and chocolate kill me. And that took the longest. You know, I had to learn, don't use extract because it'll taste like a menthol cigarette. But if you use peppermint oil, it'll taste like an Andes mint or legit like a Girl Scout cookie. And so that was a hard one for me to figure out just because the flavor profile is not really my favorite, but I knew that it was such a all-American great addition to the box that people would love.
Who's sampling these for you?
I mean, who isn't? I get everyone, oh, if you need a taste tester, if I had a dollar for every time I said that. And I'm happy to. You know, sometimes someone on Instagram will be like, I'm a college student, send me something. And I'll be like, okay. You know, my neighbors, my friends, my family, you know, everyone at work. The more people I can get to taste these things, the better, because everyone's feedback is really important. You know, it's not, I know it's called Dana's Bakery, but it's really nothing about Dana. Like, I want everyone else to like it too. I just hope that they like what I like and we, you know, what we're putting out there.
So from the get-go, were you pretty confident once you tweaked the recipe just right? Were you pretty like, all right, I know these are going to be selling and I know people are going to love them if I can just get them to people?
Sure. So I wasn't sure, you know, I was still just doing it and let's see what happens. And I put up the website. I found a friend to design the website for me that I'd known since I was 16. She still works with us today. And then we were doing local New York City delivery only. So people were ordering. I launched the website. We had a bunch of sales. I'm pretty sure they were all friends and family. And so I was making these in the kitchen, and I was literally delivering everything by hand in New York City on the subway, taking cabs, losing money left and right because I was paying for cabs and, like, charging not enough for delivery. You know, like I said, I didn't go to business school. But because of social media, I always say that social media is the most important tool, and I give such a credit my growth, so much of my growth to social media. So thanks, Instagram, because of my photos and the way I chose to photograph the macaroons at the time, people all over started seeing them. And they were like, how can I get them? When are you going to start shipping? So for me, you know, I didn't photograph the macaroons like a, sorry, my nose is running. I didn't photograph the macaroons like everyone else did pastry. It wasn't out of focus. It wasn't soft colors. It wasn't pastels. It was a sexy still life shoot. Like, I would have shot a bottle of perfume back in the day, which was like a week or two. But, like, you know, how I would have being a photo editor. So I think that it was really appealing. The visual, the flavors were really appealing to people who might not be interested in a macaroon or know what it is, but be willing to try it because they were familiar with the flavor profile. So because of social media, everyone started saying, how can you ship them to me? I want them. So that's when I had to figure out the logistics of shipping. Now, I don't have any business partners. So this, it's all been trial and error and, you know, finding someone, digging through my contacts. Who do you know? Who can you put me in touch with? Learning lessons along the way in terms of price and getting ripped off and not ordering more than you need or ordering the wrong thing or not checking the sample properly. You know, all these things are hard lessons, but I think they make you stronger. But we had to figure out shipping.
So now that I'm, like, thinking more intensely about the specific macaroon, it seems like it's very fragile.
Right.
So if you're hand delivering it, that's one thing. But if you're shipping it in the mail...
Even hand delivery, they'll break when they hit each other. So I had to create a custom clamshell to match our sizes. And then you have to make sure they're all the same size so that they fit in. And then as we're growing, because I start to ship, I'm figuring out, you know, rates, and it's perishable. So it has to get there within 2 days or else they arrive and they're melted and you know, they're not edible. They're not safe to eat. So, you know, you have to figure out all of that stuff.
That's, and
I'm even, so happy it's over. That was, that really was a stressful, now that I'm thinking about it, because I don't go back memory lane like this often. You know, you think about it and you're like, wow, how did you
how you developed a clamshell carrier. I wouldn't even know the first step to even develop that. I don't, where do you go? You go to
people. You just ask everybody. So it was a really busy time, you know, between getting the sales, figuring out the packaging, you know, so there's, it's such a long story, but so we started shipping. And then once I figured out that I could ship, I had to hire more people. So we're growing in the kitchen, right? So home base is growing. And then with that comes quality control and making sure that everything looks the right way and the ingredients are good. And as we're growing and we're producing more macaroons, the quality is still there, because I always say, since we're an online bakery and you can't walk in and smell something, it has to look good. So that's where the photo editor and me came in. If it looks good and people get it, if it tastes good, they'll come back for more and they'll recommend it to people. And that is your success for growth.
Gotcha.
It's twofold.
Food porn.
Food porn. Yes. All the way. Hashtag food porn.
And quality control.
Yeah. That's it.
So as you're getting bigger and you figure out shipping and there's more and more to come,
right?
Was it difficult in kind of putting your manager hat on and delegating tasks to other people, hiring people? You know?
Yeah. So that's always a challenge. It's still a challenge. We have now 35 employees, all women.
Oh, wow. Look
moms,
at you.
35 employees. And it's still a challenge because, you know, I love them all very much and they're great. And without them, you know, the bakery would not be what it is. But, you know, things happen, things come up, and it's a fine line between friend and boss and, you know, being respectful. But, like, you know, having people be happy to work there. You have to have culture. You know, you want them to respect you. You want them to respect other people in the workplace. I want people to come to work every day and want to be at work. So I want it to be fun, but I want to make sure that we're all getting our work done. So it's definitely, you know, it's a challenge. And I'm learning, I learn every day because things happen and you kind of have to.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow. 30. Is it weird to wrap your head around that you started?
Totally.
You know, and now you have 35 employees beneath you. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So I noticed that there's some of Dana's bakery products are in places like Williams and Sonoma.
Right.
And I think I read somewhere that at one point your business was, I want to say, like, majority wholesale.
70%, yep.
And the 30% was online, like direct to consumer.
Correct.
And you have flipped that, right?
Yep,
or
correct.
You are. Can you talk about sort of the difference for you and, like, kind of navigating that? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, wholesale, like, if you work through a wholesale account, it's like they buy it for cheaper.
And they resell it.
And resell it for a profit. And it's good for you in your perspective because it gets you in front of more their customer base, more people.
Depending on the partner. So for me, you know, wholesale is what helped me grow the business. It kept the lights on. So I would knock down doors. Dylan's was one of my first accounts, Williams Sonoma. I had a friend there who knew someone there and I sent them a package and they liked the way it looked. They liked the way it tasted. You know, we figured out pricing and then they became a partner. We do 1-800 Flowers, Fresh Direct, Whole Foods. So that started to grow, that division, you know, that's when wholesale started. Because it's a lower price point, but just as much work, if not more, because it's higher volume, you know, long term, it didn't really make sense for us from a business standpoint, because I'm hiring more people to fulfill these mass quantities, but I'm not getting what I could if I was selling at retail myself.
Right.
So it was great up until a certain point, but then we had so many wholesale clients and with that comes management. You have to hire someone to manage them directly. And I can't just be so hands-on with that because I'm doing so many other things. So it got to the point where I said, you know what? I need to flip the switch. And right now we're about 70-30. It needs to be the other way. So I trimmed the fat and I kept the whole, and I would only work with companies that I felt aligned with our brand. Everything is co-branded, so nothing is white label. So if you go into Williams Sonoma or you go to Dylan's Candy Bar, it's branded Dana's Bakery. So I was really selective with my partners because I didn't want to be at some budget, you know, store and people would see that and then associate us with discount. It just kind of went against all the stuff that I was working on in terms of growing our brand. So, I trimmed the fat and I kept some of the original and the best partners that made sense with us and I kept them. And I've, you know, cultivated those relationships and we still work with them, knock on wood, to this day. And so that's great, but it took me about a year and a half to really tip the scales. Mm. So with that extra energy and with that, you know, extra product, I wanted to build our retail sales. So that's when I started really diving into a marketing plan. Putting dollars towards advertising and emails and, you know, AdWords and advertising through Facebook. Everything had been organic at the time. And so I started to put some spend towards that. And then that was trial and error also. You know, you realize what works, what doesn't. You end up working with a company and they're not doing right by you, but you don't know how to really, you know, measure their success because you're not so familiar with it yourself. So it's almost like you get taken advantage of. And that's the learning curve is, you know, in doing business, if you don't have someone, you don't have the business background and you don't have someone that is skilled in that, you know, you have to learn yourself.
Yeah, I imagine that's a huge learning curve.
Everything's a learning curve, but you know, you make it happen.
Are you a naturally kind of persistent person, or did you feel like, because it seems like there's a delicate balance.
Are you pushy?
I feel like you have to be. And when you're talking about how you got a bunch of partnerships, or like just getting into certain stores, that takes persistence.
It's a fine
line.
But
then on the other hand, you almost don't want to be like too annoying. Like, try my product. Try it.
It's a fine line for sure. So, you know, it's like it's gently nudging. And sometimes you have to know when it's not working. You say, okay, like, let's close this chapter. But, you know, if I send someone an email or I'm trying to get a meeting and they don't hear back from me, or they show a little interest but it's not the right time, I pleasantly check in with them, you know, in a month or two. Or I just keep on sending them stuff.
Gotcha.
I'm like, hey, it's holiday. Look at our new flavors. Yeah. Like, just eat.
Yeah.
Eat. And, you know, I just send it. And, you know, eventually they come around, or so you hope.
And part of your marketing plan, when you're putting that together, were you sending some of your macarons to, let's say, influencers on social media, or even like food journalists?
It's always changing. It's always changing. So it depends on what it is and what we're trying to achieve. So for flavor of the month, I have my like tried and true list of people that I send things to, so that they know what's coming. You know, the industry has really changed that not everyone, like it used to be all the rage to get into magazines. So yes, I would still love to be on the hot list on Star Magazine, and we've been on there a bunch of times, and that's amazing.
Because
in the nail salon, I'm reading that. In the airport, I'm reading that, and people see it.
Right.
But like getting on TV is not what it used to be. Like, I could get on TV, and it's crazy, because when I started the bakery, you know, the world of why am I having a total brain fart? The editorial was changing. And it was a sinking ship. So like, editorial was changing. Everything was going digital. Now, in terms of what helps your business, it's like, TV is great and I love to do it. And it's great to repurpose that, you know, that whatever you're getting from it. But also I could have someone post something on Instagram and it's like, it goes viral. So it's really crazy to kind of keep up with the times and see what's worth the spend and what avenues you really want to go down to really make it work for you. And that's why I think it's different with the products and what you're promoting. If it's back to school, if it's gluten-free, if it's the cookies versus the macaroons, if it's a holiday, the subscription, you know, push, our kits. I mean, there's so many different things now that could be sending stuff all day long.
Do you have someone in place who's kind of helping you think of how to market some of this stuff, or is it just coming from your brain?
So a lot of it comes from my brain, but it's collaborative. So I ask everyone that works at the bakery. So everyone has a say. Everyone's opinion matters. I have a friend of mine that comes in once a week, and she helps me, you know, flush out some of this marketing. So I do have people to help me, but I'm still very much involved in the day-to-day. And that's one of the biggest struggles is, you know, you can loosen the reins on some things, but really finding people who would do it, if not as good as you, but better, so that you can fully let go of some of the reins so that I can focus on other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to be in LA and be doing stuff for work if the bakery's not, you know, going to run itself when I'm not there. And I'm very lucky that I have an amazing team, and it is.
Yeah.
But some of these other things, like the marketing, like making these decisions about shipping or packaging and all those things, like, I'm still very hands-on and I love it. But now I have a daughter. So there's a lot more, you know, at stake when it comes to my time.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure I leave by a certain time so that I get home and I can spend some time with her before I put her to bed.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all these different elements that go into it. I just went off on a tangent. I don't even remember what your original question was.
No, but speaking of...
refocus me.
I wanted to specifically ask you about that. Having a daughter, just bringing a child into the world, I feel like that would...
The best.
...really change how you... are, as you know, a small business owner, just like always hustling, getting stuff done, working, wearing all these different hats, and then suddenly you have a kid.
Right.
Did you notice a pretty big shift in the way that you approach work?
All of a sudden, everything changes. What you thought was important is not important at all once you have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Lenny. Lenny is my world. So nothing is as important as her. So I really prioritize my time and everything around, you know, what's going to make the most sense? How can I maximize my time with her? And my time with her is also so much more valuable. So for instance, we were talking about before about being able to make quick decisions. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, that's so important. But I think that becoming a mother has made me a better businesswoman because I'm so much more careful with my time and the decisions that I make because I know the consequences are so great.
Right.
And it, you know, it could go one way or the other way. And you just need to, you need to focus and you need to say, listen, I have to get this done. Because if I don't get this done, I'm going to miss that deadline. And then that means that I don't see Lenny tonight.
Right.
Or, you know, this isn't going to happen. And then we can't go on that trip. You know, there's so many different things.
Yeah.
But it's the best.
Oh, I'm, what is she doing right now?
She is, what time is it in New York? She's napping. She's a champ.
How old is she?
She doesn't get that from me. Champion sleeper. She just turned two last week. A couple weeks ago.
Do you bake with her?
So she quote unquote helps, but she loves to eat dessert like her mom. And she will bake with me. I'm so excited to bake with her and to get manicures. Like, I just feel like I'm so excited when we can do that. She's still so young. She's two. But her personality is coming out. It's really cute.
Yeah. And you can see who, what characteristics she's pulling things from.
I don't know. She's better than both Adam and I. So I don't know. We're just lucky. She's great.
So along this whole trajectory of your company, when did you meet your husband?
So I met him. I had broken up with a boyfriend. I had quit my job. I had started culinary school, and then I met my now husband, Adam, all within, I think, 2 months.
I met Adam when
I had just started. Yeah, 30 was the best thing that ever happened to me. So when people are getting like a quarter life, you know, crisis, I'm like, don't worry, 30 is great, and here's why. But it all happened really fast and in the beginning. So within a couple months. I was just in school when I met Adam.
Gotcha. So when you actually, that makes me think, so say you're 30 when this is all happening,
right.
I'm assuming some of your close friends are sort of, you know, like getting higher up in their careers, and you making the decision to leave your job and do something totally different than what you're doing. That would be kind of scary. Did you feel that?
I've never really been one to care what other people think. So is it, you know, you have a problem with it? Like,
yeah.
Focus on your own job.
Right.
You know, it really never was a thing for me when I quit my job. Everyone thought that I was crazy, except for my mom. No one got it. Everyone literally made fun of me at the magazine. They were like, okay, you can make some creatine muffins, you know. Yeah, some protein cupcakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone was very pleasant. I just didn't care.
But your mom believed in you.
Yes. Thanks, moms.
That's cool.
Mom's the best.
I bet she has so much joy in watching.
So much joy.
How this has developed.
So much joy.
Right?
She's the best. Hi, mom.
Are they in New Jersey?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So has anyone along the way, did you have any mentors in baking, in like any entrepreneur mentors that you sort of have like thrown ideas off of along the way?
So I will always take a meeting with anyone. I think it's good to meet everyone. And, you know, I've of course spoken to lots of people, you know, in this journey so far, but I have not really had any mentors in either area to really like take me under their wing in a big way. And I think that for me right now, you know, I make it such a priority to, like when I speak on panels and I, you know, go to these women's groups, to be open and happy. Even on social media, people message me all the time and I'll take calls with them to kind of give back to what I wish I had when I was starting. It's so important to, and I'm going to just talk for a second about being a woman in business because it's such an important time and an exciting time to be a woman in business right now. And even 7 years ago, it really wasn't the case. And you either get the best of the best or the worst of the worst. And I think that for the most part, women in business are so supporting and loving of each other. That's such a great community. But I think that it's important to put yourself out there and be there for people, because if I had that, like a true relationship with someone that was really open to make that connection or take me under their wing or give me that business advice so that I didn't make X, Y, and Z mistake, I think that it would have been priceless. So I think there needs to be more of that out there. And I think that there's a lot of great networking groups right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a part of one called Hey Mama. So it's about moms and so many kick-ass moms that are in business and have like huge high power jobs or just want to start their own, you know, business and, or, you know, don't work at all, but they're just a mom, which is a hard job in itself. So I don't mean that like you're not working, but I mean working for yourself or someone else in like a business or corporate environment. So I think that it's great to align with those types of groups and just kind of network that way. And so no mentors in that way, but because of that experience that I had, I really try to give back and be accessible to people who need someone, you know, to talk to while they're starting out or they're established and they just need, you know, I have a lot of great friends that are big business women and they, you know, we just go out to dinner and
Just having someone to talk to about, I'm sure, because I'm sure like if you have a child at home too, you feel like, I only have so many hours in the day and I want to be 100% with them, but I also have this business that's my baby and I need to be 100% with them. It's like, you know, just having people that you can interact with. About
mom guilt's real. And, you know, I always say, everyone's like, what's the secret? How do you balance? And I was like, there is no balance. You just do the best that you can. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can have it all, but not at the same time. Some days I'm feeling great about work and personal, I'm having guilt. And then some days like I'm feeling really good, you know, about my personal and I'm so stressed out about work or like I haven't found time to give myself what I needed, whether it's going to the gym or just having time to relax. Yeah. So I think that it is important to have that outlet and to kind of commiserate or celebrate with people that, you know, can understand.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And even just making yourself accessible to other small business owners that reach out to you for a question. Because I imagine you're motivated to do this, but I'm sure it's not just like up, 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 up. There's probably peaks and valleys as far as
every day.
I'm all about this, or literally, what am I doing? Why did I
every
quit
day?
My job? You know,
not about, you know, why did I quit my job every day, but just when you're an entrepreneur and you're owning your own business, in a day, there's so many mixed emotions. So many things may happen. So you'll have the highest of the high and the lowest of the low. Like that's basically the two extremes, and that's a constant.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
It's really not for everyone.
Is there a certain personality traits that you think someone like that needs to have?
I think it's more about passion and drive than it is a personality trait. I think that it's about finding what you're meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. So if you're not willing to come home after your regular job and stay up all hours of the night and literally hustle and push and, you know, claw your way is not the right thing. But if you're not willing to really give it your all, let's just, you know, generalize it, give it your all and all of your spare time to what you want to do, then maybe it's not for you, or maybe you haven't found the right thing yet, because it's something that you eat, you sleep, you live, and you dream. Like I'm constantly thinking about Dana's Bakery, and when I was starting the company, it's constant. You're always pushing, you're always selling, you're always thinking about ways that you can grow, make it better, do things differently, you know, comparing yourself to what other people are doing and seeing like how you can, you know, grow in that area. So I think that it's like you have to be able to just 100% be invested. And if you're not, it's either not for you or it's not the right thing for you at that time. It's not for everyone. It's hard. It's hard work.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's why
it's gratifying.
Also,
and because you love it, it's like it doesn't feel like work all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like hearing that. I mean, it's refreshing to know that obviously it's there's great highs and a lot of benefits, but it's not without struggle and probably
consequences,
crying or, you know, certain
tears,
things.
Yeah. Blood, sweat, and tears, literally. Yeah.
So I want to talk some about the stuff that you guys sell.
Okay.
The black and white cookie, is that something that you always knew you wanted to make, or was that sort of after you developed the macaron recipes? And
so I was making these things called cakeys before I had even done the macaroons. So I was going to do that. And then I realized that there was an untapped market. A cakey is basically like a really like a cakey cookie. It's a cookie. But then I fell in love with the macaroon and I saw that there was, you know, an untapped market. So I ended up doing the macaroons. Macaroons for about 5 years. And then I was like, you know, I want to start doing cookies. I want to do something else, but I want to put our spin on it. Because we're gluten-free, I had to develop a recipe. Before, when I made cakeys, they weren't gluten-free, so it was just you buy whatever flour at the store. Mm-hmm. So it's taken me 2 years to develop the recipe for the cookies and the black and whites. So I've always loved black and white cookies, but I didn't want to do the basic black and white cookie that you can buy anywhere else. What is going to set us apart from everyone else, and how can I put that Dana's Bakery spin on it, which is what we're known for? So I said, it has to look great. So I know that rainbows are all the rage and they're so pretty and tie-dye, and it's just such a wild idea.
Food porn.
Food porn. Yeah, exactly. So I launched the black and whites and the cookie. Okay, hold on. I digress. Let me go back. So I was working on this recipe. It all was kind of serendipitous. It all happened around the same time. I was opening up Dylan's Candy Bar. So I was about to launch the cookies. I had it in my back pocket. I didn't know when I was going to launch it. I was still kind of tweaking the recipe and the packaging and all of that stuff. I figured I would launch it when we opened Dylan's Candy Bar, be able to test it there, and then really roll it out once we saw that it did well. Because it's not like when you're an online bakery, it's not as simple as just selling something in your shop. You have to figure out packaging. You have to figure out how it ships. You have to figure out the shelf life. You have to have photos. You need to add it to your website. You have to have flavor cards. You have to have printed materials. So adding a product to your website is really like a 10-step process. It's not like making a small batch and then you just sell it in the store and see how it does.
Right.
Because we were opening up Dylan's Candy Bar, it was a great opportunity for me to sell them there and then see what else we should sell. So because of social media, I made a post on Instagram and I said, hey guys, we're opening up inside Dylan's Candy Bar. What else should we sell? Leave your suggestions in the comments and the winner will win whatever we choose. So somebody said, shove a macaroon inside a cookie. And my mind exploded. And I was like, that is the best idea I've ever heard of. It's a synergy of a new product and an old product. Mm-hmm. I can use the cookie that I always wanted to do with the new recipe that I've been working on, like game time.
Yeah.
So we had another Insta contest about what we should name it. And so it ended up being the Mookie, a macaroon and a cookie. So Mookie. So that was one of the products that we started selling at Dylan's. Trademarked it. It's now, you know, it's one of our top selling items. So it's a cookie stuffed with a macaroon. So we have chocolate chip cookie with a chocolate molten macaroon in the middle. We have funfetti with the birthday cake macaroon in the middle. Red velvet, which is red velvet macaroon in the middle. A chocolate with a s'mores, and then a peanut butter and jelly, which is my favorite. It's a peanut butter cookie with a raspberry jam macaroon in the middle.
Wow.
So that was the Mookie. So that's one product. The rainbow black and whites, I've always loved black and white cookies. The Seinfeld episode, I grew up right outside New York. You know, it's such a classic for me. I was dying to make them, but I had to be our own little spin. So I made them tie-dye, coincidentally, right around the time of New York Pride.
That's right.
Because of the timing, blew up. These cookies were everywhere. I could not believe it. Like, everyone was posting them on social. They were getting press. People were ordering them for corporate. You know, it just became its own thing.
Yeah.
And so the black and white cookie for us, you know, I think because it's just so, they're so pretty. And a lot of people don't know what the black and white cookie is. It's called different things in all different places where you live. Half moon, black and white. There's so many different names. And I got a lot of pushback about the black and white cookies also. People said, you know, you're trying to, you know, turn this product on its head and do something different, but it's called something different in all these other places. A lot of people don't know what they are. Like, you're not going to be successful with a black and white cookie. And I just kind of let the haters be the haters. And I said, I'm so excited about it that it's either going to be the best idea ever or it's going to be a flop, but I have to give it a go.
Right.
And I think because when we launched it coincided with Pride, it got that much more press. And it was, you know, it just kind of helped establish them and blow it out of the water.
So was that strategic to put it out there around that time, around Pride Month?
I would love to say yes, but no. It was just one of those lucky moments. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I watched, I think.
So that's why I said it's kismet. It was like serendipitous. It was like, you've got to be kidding me.
So all the haters.
All the haters. And that's the same thing that happened with the macaroon. You know, like, how are you going to have a successful business selling one thing?
Right.
People don't even know what a macaroon is. And I said, but they will.
Have you met a lot of, like, is there a certain macaroon culture of like, like purists?
Yeah.
And
they get so mad that I call it a macaroon instead of a macaron, by the way. Like,
or like your mookie. Have they tried that? You know what I mean? Have you gotten like feedback from any of those kind of people? Or have you gone to even France with your products just to kind of...
I know it's a macaroon, but I just feel like we are so different than the traditional classic macaroon. And we appeal to such a wider audience that I don't really consider it competition.
I
think that we kind of own our own space and people respect us for that. And if they don't, you can go to Lauderay, you know, across the street and get your lavender macaroon. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just not something we do.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like all the respect for them. There's enough to go around. It's totally fine.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got pink lemonade. Come on over.
I know. Exactly. Yeah.
That was the flavor of the month.
Last month.
Yeah. That's what I tried and it was amazing.
Thank you.
Talking about how putting a new product in your site and all the other steps that go into it, I was thinking that with, say, the black and white cookie, because when you shipped it, it said something along the lines of, like, pop it in the fridge for a little bit. And, like, even something that detailed.
You have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you send a test to your friend in California and say, like, how to turn
out? Lots of tests. Oh. California, Florida, Jersey.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I even tested some people on Instagram. I said, be our taste tester. And I picked a couple people, and, you know, some of our top clients are people that are really engaged with us.
Right.
And I shipped to them. And I said, but if, you know, you accept this delivery, I need photos. I need detail. I need to know.
Yeah.
Like, it's for fun, but it's also research. So you have to tell me what's wrong.
Yeah. This is serious business, people.
Right.
Tell me. I also noticed that you have... you partnered with Sally Henson for nail polish, which is really cool. And the names were kind of punny.
It's the best. So, you know, I'm all about women in business. So it was like CE Orange, Pink Pantsuit, Collabo Red. That was really fun. I'm all about nail polish and Max and Manny's. And so when they came to me about a collaboration, I was like, it jumped on.
Oh, they came to you.
Yeah.
That's so clever. I mean, I feel like in terms of partnering with people outside of food, there's so many opportunities.
But I think that is, unless it's a friend that I have a lot of girlfriends in the space, and so I'll do things with them. But unless it's a personal connection like that, when I look to do partnerships, I do things that are kind of outside the box that you wouldn't think make sense, but make total sense. For example, nail polish.
Yeah.
Same demographic.
By the way, you have amazing manicure.
Thank you.
Right now.
The nail, the stars.
With, like, colorful stars on it. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's same demographic. It is, you know, unassuming, but it makes sense.
Right.
So I think that's a great synergy because it's not expected, but it works.
So when Lenny is, you know, old enough to be working somewhere, where do you picture Dana's Bakery, you know, in 20 years?
So, like, oh gosh,
do you think about that far out, or are you just sort of like, all right, this year, here's our goal? Like, how far out are you
Girl, I'm just trying to get through day to day. But, you know, we definitely have our goals. I have the next, you know, couple years planned out. You have a 5-year little business plan, but it changes in a day. Like, the second you're done writing it, it's changed. But I, you know, ultimately, I'd love global domination. I mean, I want to grow. I want to have a West Coast presence so that we can offer better shipping for people across the country.
Right.
You know, right now for us, we're East Coast based, and that's great, and we ship everywhere. But if I could mirror what I have out here, I mean, on the East Coast, if I can have that on the West Coast, it's a great excuse for me to come to LA more. But more importantly, I can offer cheaper shipping to people across the country, which will, you know, maximize my sales. We would grow, you know, tenfold. So for me, that is one of the next steps and one of the things that I'm working on.
Gotcha.
And hopefully that's not 20 years out.
Yeah.
That's in, like, my couple year plan.
Yeah. Before Lenny's driving.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so fun. So I miss it. Do you guys live in?
We live in New York City.
Gotcha. Would you ever move? Or are you sort of like?
You know, we're there. Yeah. You know, we're there. Ask me in a year or two.
Yeah.
Right now we're good.
You're there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Right now we're good.
Oh, that's so. What else do you have planned while you're here? Have you met up with like? Have you gotten like dinner with any friends out here? Or?
Yeah. So I have a bunch of meetings, seeing a bunch of friends. And, you know, it's a short trip. I got in yesterday, Wednesday morning, and I leave Saturday. I take the red eye back. So it's a good friend's birthday. It's an 80s party on Friday. So I'm figuring out that costume today.
Oh, you got to go to like a consignment shop.
Yeah. Although that stuff kind of creeps me out.
True. Yeah. No, that's true. You know,
I'll wash it. Wash before you wear.
Yeah. I got rollerblades from Played Against Sports, and I like disinfected them with spray, but
they still smell.
I was sort of thinking about it, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe I should just buy new ones.
Not safe. Yeah. And I love that you bought rollerblades. I know.
I feel like it was because they were cheap. They're
probably
maybe like
you
20
should
bucks
come to the 80s party with me, and you know, you can wear your rollerblades. It's amazing,
dude. Rollerblades,
inline skating. Okay. It's called inline skating.
Inline too. That's right. Yep. Yeah. I'm not very good though. I can't break. So I only do it. I only ride sparingly.
I wish you luck. That's terrifying.
It's scary. Yeah. I was telling people about some people I work with about your.
Are you talking about me?
I was talking about you. I was talking about you, girl. And someone ordered macarons for their friend's birthday.
Right.
And you have like so many different ideas. I mean, you have like, will you be my bridesmaid ones?
Right.
Will you gender reveal ones?
Right.
I mean, I feel like...
Which we just did. So today I'm tried and true with Domino's. So I love pizza. I love my Starbucks. I love my coffee. We just did a gender reveal giveaway with Domino's today.
Wait, with Domino's?
Pizza, yeah.
What'd you do?
It's like an online where it's like pregnancy cravings. They're doing a thing about Labor Day, about labor. So they're doing like a whole labor pregnancy push towards the moms. And I was like, jump on board.
That's awesome.
Moms and pizza. I can totally get behind this. Yeah. I love Domino's. So we did a thing with them today. You said gender reveal.
Yeah.
That just made me think of it.
Domino's is amazing.
I know.
We live right around the corner from one, and we get it delivered, which is embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing at all. It's so convenient.
But they have the online order system where you can track it.
Oh, wait. The pizza tracker, the metal one. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge metal head. So like the Iron Maiden one, it's the font, and it's got like the sparks, and it sounds like Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden saying like, I'm not going to do it because I'd totally embarrass myself, and then it'll be on the internet forever. But it's... amazing.
Domino's
do the metal pizza tracker next time.
I will. Domino's is very clever. Even their commercial with
fixing the pothole.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm like, who's thinking of
who
this
can
stuff?
I poach from over there to bring
exactly.
them on Team Dana's Bakery?
Yeah, it's just so clever and just kind of funny that you, of course, remember it because you're
I
like,
love
that's
it
so funny
much.
That they would fix the potholes in the street.
I love you know? Domino's.
I think that they changed their recipe maybe in the past 10 years.
They did.
Did they?
It's like more natural.
It's amazing. Like the crust,
so
the seasoning is
thin
so
crust.
Good.
It's all about thin crust. Chicken kickers. Don't get me started.
I just love it.
But to go back to before Domino's Love Fest, lots of different products and just we do a lot of customization.
Yeah.
So corporate and events are a big thing for us. So we can do custom colors, custom flavors.
Oh, cool.
We can print on the macaroons. So I could put your face on a macaroon, which is perfect for a bar bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
Little kids love to eat their faces. we can do logos. So we did something for Victoria's Secret where they were coming out with a new line of perfume and we made macaroons that matched the scent. So it had the hints and the tones of, you know, what was in the perfume. So,
because
we ship, you know, it's a great gift for, you know.
Right.
For all, you know,
whoever.
Exactly. So, but that's what a lot of the customization comes in. And I feel more creative in this job than I did as a photographer or as a photo editor, because that was more production. And this is just really thinking outside the box, and it's all for happy occasions. So it's just kind of a win-win all around.
Yeah. You're just sending like love bombs to
everyone. Oh, it's great. I love that. Can I use that from now on? Okay.
Yeah, delicious.
I was telling people
bombs.
That I make people fat for a living, but I think that what I should do is I should just say that I'm delivering love bombs.
Yeah.
That's so much better. That's so much better.
That's great. Okay, well, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Sharing about your awesome bad to the bone self.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I should also mention, if you're feeling adventurous, you can buy their macaron making kits if you want to try it at home. If you like the show, we'd love for you to leave a 5-star rating and review of Olympic and Bundy, and tell us what episode you liked. Once again, I'm Kelly Taylor, and thank you very much for listening.